today is the Great American Smokeout, an annual event aimed at getting cigarette smokers across the country to kick the habit. It's estimated that about 42 million Americans still smoke cigarettes, and according to the American Cancer Society, tobacco use remains the single largest preventable cause of disease and premature death in the United States.
In addition, new data is out today about who smokes in Wisconsin. According to the Wisconsin Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, about 17% of the state's adults smoke. That's down from where it was in the past, but smoking rates for people who are poor, uneducated, or black are nearly double that number. So what needs to be done to start bringing those numbers down?
Here with us now is Dr. Michael Fiore. He's a professor of medicine at the University of Wisconsin and the founder and director of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Dr. Fiore, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy to be back.
Well, today, again, the 40th annual Great American Smokeout. And Dr. Fiore, in the last four decades, how successful has this day been at getting people, incentivizing them to quit smoking?
Well, the Great American Smokeout is a wonderful tradition and a really powerful motivator for a lot of people to think about quitting. You know, when we talk to people across Wisconsin and actually nationwide, 7 out of 10 who smoke today say they want to quit and have tried at least once but have relapsed. So for the most part, people today who smoke are individuals who rue the day that they became addicted to this drug and are motivated to break free of this addiction. And the Great American Smokeout serves as a motivator to try again, and that's so important. What we've learned over the years is that smoking is not like a strep infection that you just take medicine for 10 days and you've got it squared away. Instead, it's more like a chronic disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, that you often have to work over time to get it under control. So for those smokers out there, even if you've tried in the past to quit, don't give up. You're smarter, you're stronger every time you try, and you will ultimately succeed.
Do you have any idea how many people are motivated on this day to think about or make a plan for trying to quit smoking?
Well, it's been estimated in the past that, in fact, millions of people try to quit on the Great American Smokeout. You know, the goal is to quit for the day, but what it's become over time is just a great reminder for people that you can break free of tobacco dependence. You can overcome this, and think about this day as an opportunity to begin that process.
And can you give us a sense how big an impact smoking has on our healthcare system here in America?
Well, we know that, first from a health perspective, smoking kills here in our state more than 7,000 of our residents each year. And, you know, I think sometimes with the statistics on smoking, we almost become numb to their power. But to think for each of those 7,000 individuals, there's a child who's lost a parent. There is a brother who's lost a sibling. There's a friend who's lost a loved one. These are families across our state that every day are being affected by smoking, again, killing 8,000 of our residents. Across the nation, 500,000 Americans are killed every year. It's the leading preventable cause of illness and death. You know, people often say, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could come up with a cure for cancer? Well, in fact, we have a cure for one-third of all cancers because they're caused by smoking. If we were to eliminate smoking entirely from Wisconsin and America, we would eliminate one-third of all cancer deaths in our state and in our country.
Wow. Well, let's find out how we're doing here in Wisconsin. According to the Wisconsin Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, we've learned that 17% of Wisconsin's adults smoke. So that 17%, can you put it into context for us? Where is that now and where have we come
from?
Well,
you know, it really reflects an enormous amount of progress. Back in the 60s, the 1960s, when smoking rates were at their peak, almost 50% of adults smoked. So think about that. We've cut it to one-third of the rate it was. And I just want to give a shout-out to the Wisconsin Health Department, the Wisconsin Tobacco Control Program, that as a result of funding through the legislature and the governor's office, that every year $5 million is devoted to prevent kids from starting to smoke and helping adults to quit. And the efforts of the Wisconsin Tobacco Control Program and the broader health department efforts in our state are really have played a big part in helping lower the smoking rate in our state. So we've had it drop from, again, almost 50% at its peak, now down to 17%, an incredible public health achievement. But as we'll talk about in just a moment, that progress has not been equal across all segments of our society. And we've got a lot of work to do with some of the populations that sadly we've left behind.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Fiore of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Today is the American Cancer Society's Great American Smokeout. It's a day aimed at getting smokers to kick the habit. And we're taking a look at where we are in Wisconsin when it comes to smoking habits. And we're talking about that 17% smoking rate in Wisconsin. But as you said, it's not proportional. The state data shows that 32% of poor adults, 33% of uneducated adults, and 35% of African American adults smoke. So higher numbers there. What's the explanation for why these groups have higher smoking rates?
Well, the reasons for it are just the what we've judged to be the case. And let me share with you what some of the thoughts are about why smoking rates are higher. You know, when a lot of the information came out about the dangers of smoking, it was really geared towards people with high educations and people of higher income. It was a pretty sophisticated and advanced message that people should not smoke. And I think that those of us who are in the business of helping people to quit have really not done enough to realize that, particularly for people for whom English is a second language, or who have difficulty reading, or are struggling with the day-to-day survival that comes when a person is very poor, that they can't be focusing on quitting, that we've left these populations behind, and they're exactly the populations that you've mentioned. Among people whose income is less than $25,000 per year, that's for a family, the smoking rate for them is 32%. So essentially double the rate of the population in general. Among people who have not graduated from high school, their smoking rate is 33%. And finally, African Americans in our state, about 35% of them smoke. So we have not done enough to reach out to populations who are struggling with other aspects of life and ensuring that they've got the tools that they need to break free of tobacco dependence.
So taking a look at those numbers and the need to reach those groups of people, what kind of strategies do you think are needed, maybe in contrast to what's been tried so far, what's been tried and been successful in the past?
Yeah. So a number of strategies are being considered. So the first is, it for a person who is struggling with putting food on the table, who's struggling with long hours of work in order to make enough to support his or her family, we're clearly going to have to do more than what we've done in the past, and that is often have very brief public service announcements, very brief counseling interventions, often not having the other kinds of treatments that are necessary. You know, the people who smoke at the highest rates are also the people who have least access to insurance coverage. And if they want to get access to medicines to help them to quit or even counseling, you need to have access to insurance. And one of the concerns is that we've left these populations behind because they've fallen through the safety net and don't have adequate insurance to support them in their efforts to quit.
We're talking right now with Dr. Michael Fiore of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Today is the American Cancer Society's Great American Smokeout, and we're taking a look at smoking statistics in Wisconsin and how all groups of smokers can find a way to quit.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you're a smoker, what, if anything, could convince you to quit? If you've tried quitting before and it hasn't worked for you, what help do you need? And if you have kicked the habit, what was your strategy? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking right now with Dr. Michael Fiore of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Today is the Great American Smokeout, an event to encourage smokers to quit, and we're taking a look at who exactly smokes in Wisconsin and what can be done to help them.
And you can join us at 800-642-1234. Are you trying to quit smoking, and how's it going for you? If you have quit in the past, what helped you the most? If you smoke and you don't plan on quitting, what's stopping you? What hurdles do you see? Call us at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll go to our callers now. We've got Pat first in Waukesha. Pat, hi.
Hi.
Well, what did you want to share?
Okay, so 30 years ago today, I quit smoking at the American Smokeout. And the reason I did that is because it was my birthday, the 30th birthday. Hmm. And I wasn't going to pay $1 a pack for cigarettes.
Wow, so a lot of stuff came together for you, Pat. American Smokeout Day and your birthday, congratulations. And how is that decision looking later now, years later?
Oh, much better, much better. I'm so glad. My parents smoked, and I did not start smoking, though, until I went away to college. And everybody else was doing it, so that's when I did it. I wasn't smoking for 15 years, you know, like other people, like my brother and my sister. They started when they were in, you know, like 13, 14 years old. Mm. I didn't. I started, like I said, in college. So not that it was easy for me. It was the hardest thing I had ever done, but I did it.
And Pat, you said that the price was prohibitive and that helped galvanize you, but what else helped? What made it easier?
Well, I thought my dad quit when he was 50-something years old, and I thought to myself, if he can quit when he's 50, I can do it now when I'm 30. That was the main thing every time, because I had tried to quit several times. And another factor in that was I was trying to get pregnant, and that was one of the specifications that they said could inhibit you from getting pregnant.
Great. Yeah. Well, Pat, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your story and what you went through. And so, Dr. Fiore, for Pat, it sounds like she had a lot of personal factors all coming together, you know, the pregnancy that she was hoping to have, the birthday, the smokeout, and the price. Is that what it takes for a lot of people, a lot of different things piling up?
Yeah, well, it's a personal decision, and it has to be, because as Pat mentioned, it's really hard work. We need to be honest in describing it. It's a powerful addiction. And it's hard work, but what a wonderful story that Pat provides, and what a great motivation for all of our listeners. Here's a woman who recognized early the power of quitting, and we know the younger you quit, the greater the health benefits and the more quickly those health benefits accrue. She highlighted the fact that there's nothing more dangerous to a pregnancy than smoking. It causes stillbirths. It causes loss of pregnancies, it causes birth defects. But as Pat pointed out, something that a lot of people don't realize, it's one of the leading causes of infertility, the reason why people are unable to get pregnant. So another powerful message. I love that you quit, Pat, on the Great American Smokeout, and now, 30 years later, you're still smoke-free. And to others out there, you know, what's great about today versus 30 years ago is there are now some resources to help. And one of those is a free service available to all Wisconsin residents called the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line. Anyone in our state, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. And you'll get a counselor who'll answer the phone. They'll take about 15 or 20 minutes and get some information, and then they'll help you to develop a quit plan that's personalized to you and send you free of charge 2 weeks of either the nicotine patch, gum, or lozenge to help you to stay quit. So we've got some resources now out there available across our state. It has never been a better time to quit than today.
You know, Pat also mentioned that she was, her siblings, I think at least she said, were young, 13 and 14, when they started smoking. That's pretty young to begin, and it made me think about how earlier this year Hawaii became the first state to raise the legal smoking age to 21, and now a lot of cities around the country are thinking about that. What do you think about that idea, and should Wisconsin be looking at that?
I think it's such an important public health action we could take to protect our children. No matter where people feel about tobacco, the one thing that I've never met a single parent that wants their own children to become a smoker. And we know that the brains of adolescents during their teen years are incredibly susceptible to permanent changes as a result of exposure to cigarettes and nicotine. So if we could protect them till age 21, we markedly lower the possibility of them becoming lifelong addicts to tobacco. So the actions of Hawaii, I think, would be a great model for Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin has a tradition of emphasizing health, and there's nothing that could improve health more than helping another generation of young Wisconsin residents from becoming addicted to tobacco.
We're talking to Dr. Michael Fiore now, director of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention, talking about the Great American Smokeout, which is today. And e-cigarettes come up a lot when we have these discussions about smoking cessation, and a lot of people tend to say that they helped, that this is a sort of a bridge product that can help people make that transition off of cigarettes. And then on the other hand, there were some reports coming out recently that maybe there are chemicals in the e-cigarettes. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel recently did an investigation on this, saying that there were some substances there that may not be proclaimed on the e-cigarettes themselves. But what do you think in general about using e-cigarettes to quit smoking?
So what I tell patients who come to our program here in Madison every week is we have a lot of treatments we know both help and are safe. And the first one is the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line, 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Second is counseling that's available at centers across Wisconsin. But then the third is that there are 7 FDA-approved medications. The nicotine patch and lozenge is the most popular ones, but there are pills, bupropion and varenicline, that are also very helpful. So I tell my patients, first, use the treatments that have been tested and shown to help. If the patient says, I am convinced I want to try e-cigarettes, what I tell them is we don't know a lot about them. They've only been out for a while. They appear to be less dangerous to cigarettes, but not necessarily safe. But the key thing is, as you said earlier, use them as a bridge. Don't stay on them for the rest of your life. And in particular, don't become a dual user, using combustible cigarettes part of the time and e-cigarettes the rest of the time, and in essence, prolonged your use of deadly combustible tobacco.
We're going to go to our calls now. We've got Rose joining us in Menominee Falls. Rose, hello.
Hi. I just want to say I quit smoking 3 months ago, and I'm 71 years old. Like most people, I've tried, or I've quit numerous times. But I do want to say the thing that worked the very best for me is a book called The Easy Way Method to Quit Smoking. And what's different about that than any other quit smoking program is it completely does the opposite of telling you that, you know, you got to gear up for this and it's going to be so hard and you need nicotine replacement things and all this stuff. And it does exactly the opposite. It says you don't need any of that stuff because you have to keep telling yourself over and over again, you are not depriving yourself. You are helping yourself, and you're becoming free.
Rose, thank you so much for that. I appreciate that, and congratulations to you on quitting smoking 3 months ago. And Rose says part of this is deprivation, that you need to tell yourself that it's not about deprivation, that this is something that you can do. What do you think about the psychology of what Rose was talking about, and have you heard of that book?
There's a lot of, I actually have not read that book specifically, but I will reach out and review it. What I say is this to everybody, whatever method works for you, more power to you. The fact that Rose has quit is the goal, and I am so happy for her that she achieved that. With that said, we have a lot of science that points us in the direction of some counseling approaches, the quit line, the medications. But you know, I believe whatever works for you, use it. But take advantage of what's out there. Talk to your doctor. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. There's never been a better time to quit. It's the Great American Smokeout. Wisconsin residents want to break free of this dependence, and I wish them well in doing so.
Dr. Fiore, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you.
That was Dr. Michael Fiore, professor of medicine at the University of Wisconsin and the founder and director of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention.